From the Sri Satya Sai Media Center at Prashanthi Nilayam, you are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Gangadhar Shastri. Professor Shastri joined as the first staff member in Swami's College in Prashanthi Nilayam as a lecturer in political sciences in 1979. Later, he went on to become the assistant director of the Prashanthi Nilayam campus for a few years. He has been serving Bhagwan's mission for more than 30 years as of today and continues to do so with gusto. And for today, the topic for his talk is Living with God is True Education. With that, over to Professor Gangadhar Shastri.
Offering my most prayerful salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet, conveying my heartful sairam to each and every one of you seated here, I would like to share some of my thoughts on the concept as we understand it today, generally described as education. This is a very comprehensive and complex field. It is comprehensive and complex because today, as we understand education, we think going to school, learning how to read and write, master a number of books, master various skills, get as many wonderful degrees as possible, accumulate as much knowledge as possible, fill your mind with all that knowledge, and then go on hunting for a wonderful job, get a wonderful job, earn as much money as possible, and think that you would certainly lead a very happy and prosperous life with all those earnings. Probably I was also like that, with that understanding before 1979. Before 1979, I never saw Swami. I never came to Prashanthi Nilayam. And I didn't know anything about Swami. It was in the year 1979, Bhagwan Baba started a degree college, Sri Satya Sai Art Science and Commerce College, and also Sri Satya Sai Art Science and Commerce Junior College. That was the time when I was looking out for a job desperately. I simply applied, and we were called for facing some interviews at Bangalore. Some summer course was going on there in that year. I was very reluctant to go because it's quite a distant place from my native place, and it is an expensive journey. But I was rather encouraged by a lot of people and said, why don't you go? Just go and try. I was into a temporary job at that time in a highly reputed college, Loyola College. I was working there. But I was looking for a permanent job because in the year 1979, as I was working in Loyola College, one day I got a phone call from my father. And my father said, your marriage is fixed. Then I said, how come? I am in a temporary job and I am likely to lose my job very soon in 3-4 months. How is it that you finalized my marriage? But then he said, that's the way it is done. That's all. You have no choice. You are getting married. I recall this incident any number of times in my life because I think I was blessed with one kind of devotion before I came to Swami, that it was devotion to my father and mother. My father was my God, and my mother, even today, who is with me, is my goddess. And in Indian tradition, the first lesson that a guru teaches you is Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atidhi Devo Bhava. These four are considered as to be treated on par with the divinity. Mother is your goddess. Pratyaksha Daiva. Pratyaksha means right available to you in front of you. She is your goddess. The only thing is you have to look back into your life once, because you are all grown up now, you don't know what your mother has really done to you. She has gone through the pangs of pain that she went through to give you birth. And when you were sick, when you were a child, she didn't eat food, she didn't sleep on a number of occasions. She made you walk by holding you by your little finger. And if she was really poor, she gave you the food and went without food. And your father, God alone knows how much money he spent on you to put you through education. How much agony and suffering he went through to make you a good individual. It is really important that we go through these thoughts as often as possible. Till you lay down your body, you need to look back and see how my father, how my mother, how much they suffered to bring me up, to make me walk, to teach me how to talk, taught me how to dress, how to wear my shoes, how to walk on the road. And when I was in hospital, how much they grieved. My God, they went through so much of pain. Adi Shankaracharya once wrote a treatise on the love of a mother. Adi Shankaracharya, you are all aware of him, I think. He is considered to be the guru of gurus, Paramaguru. He is called actually as the incarnation of Kailasa Shankara. Kailasa Shankara came down as Kaladi Shankara. He was born in Kaladi. Kailasa Shankara came down. And today the Adhyatmic knowledge, which is into Vedas, Upanishads and various other scriptures, is given to us in a simplified form, because we don't have enough time to read Vedas and Upanishads. He was so merciful, so kind, and also he wanted to bless us all with that wonderful wisdom. It should be our endeavor to listen to all these stotras rendered by Shankaracharya every day morning. Put it on in your house, along with bhajans of Bhagavan. Go on listening as soon as you get up from your bed. That will really make a good beginning of your day. You listen to all those. It's very important for us. All spiritual pursuit is possible only when you go through right education. Education as we see it today probably caused a kind of pain to Bhagavan Baba. He was a bit pained when he saw the way the educational system was going through, and then decided to start a chain of educational institutions and prepare right individuals to serve the society. What kind of education is this? Education generally is considered as two kinds. One form of education is called secular education, which we get through various universities. Education, you go to a college, you go to a school, you are all given secular education. That's what we are seeking, that is what we are getting now. But there is another part of education which is highly important, very, very, very important. Most important, the second part, which is forgotten in modern times, that's called spiritual education. That spiritual education does not find any place in our educational systems today. Nowhere it is to be found. When I was a student going through my school, especially through languages, Telugu, Sanskrit, Hindi, English, all these languages were taught to us till we completed our undergraduate course, and invariably we were taught parts from Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Ramayanam and various other scriptures. I don't know, subject to correction, maybe I am wrong, you should pardon me for this, but I am very sure that people who go through literature, who study literature, they get very close to nature and there through they go very close to God. Those who are not exposed to literature go through business kind of education, and your mind is seized up with business only. Everywhere you look for a business opportunity. Life is not a business. Bhagavan Baba, when he started a degree college here in the year 1979, he gave a discourse. In that discourse, he put a question to himself and he answered that question himself. Bhagavan Baba asked himself a question: why another degree college in Puttaparthi when there are so many thousands of degree colleges across India? Why one more? And Swami himself answered that question. He said, this educational institution is started in Puttaparthi not to give simply secular education, but my view is to give more spiritual education. And Swami said, when Lord Krishna was not listening to Mother Yashoda, he was giving a lot of trouble to her, he was running around, not listening to her as a kid. Mother Yashoda was having butter in one hand and saying, Krishna, come on, butter is here, come, I'll give you butter. He was very much attracted by butter, but he hardly realized Mother was hiding a cane behind in the second hand. So she offered butter and took out the cane and corrected him by giving him one or two shots. So also Bhagavan Baba said, if I just start giving you discourses in spirituality and saying that this is a spiritual university where I'll teach you Vedas, Upanishads and all that, no one would come. I am very sure about it. So I am starting a degree college where I will show you degrees, BA, BCom, BSc, MA, MSc, PhD and all that. You definitely come. Then I have a cane here, invisible cane. I will go on giving you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of discourses. I will make you participate in bhajans. More than all that, I will put you through various kinds of service activities to the society, wherein you will realize the life is meant for something else, but not for earning left and right as much money as you wish, or aspiring for positions, power and things like that. That's not the idea. Quite often in his discourses, he declared to all of us the Brahma Sutra, the greatest sutra of life. Bhagavan declared, and I always understood Bhagavan Baba as a democratic God. A democratic God because he would try to convince you, he would never force you to do anything. And he always said to us that, I am not presenting any knowledge to you which is new. I am not presenting any knowledge to you which is new. I am giving you the same old knowledge which is all available to us from Vedas and Upanishads and Itihasas and Puranas, which was already there. I am trying to remind you all once again today because you have forgotten. Some teacher was telling me, when he tried to talk about Mahabharata in his class, the boy got up and said, what is Mahabharata? When he wanted to talk about Ramayana, he said, what is Ramayana? It is a pitiable situation into which we have thrown ourselves into. It is very sad that we keep talking to our children about higher ranks, wonderful marks. Did you get a rank or not? Are you going to get a gold medal or not? How much percentage you got? You have to top the exam list. You have to get a wonderful job. You must go to America right now. You must go to Canada, Australia. Come on, and all that. 24 hours to drill their brains with all this kind of stuff. Bhagavan was really pained the way we are living in modern times. In one of his discourses, Swami said, today, if we are finding irresponsible youngsters in the society, totally irresponsible, they don't respect their parents, they don't know how to behave with elders, They don't know how to address elders. Swami has gone to the extent of saying that you don't even know how to stand in front of elders. In an obedient manner, you don't even know how to stand. Why? There are two segments in the society which are responsible for these developments, Bhagavan Baba said. The two segments are, one, first of all, parents are responsible for this because they themselves do not understand the significance of such kind of behavior, and they don't follow, so children don't follow. Second segment, teachers. He said, teachers go to the university just to do their job and walk out. Give a lecture and walk out. You are not bothered about what is happening to the student afterwards. In 79, when he started the college, I came to him as a stranger, completely as a stranger, with big mush, big hair, with a 20 cigarettes packet in my pocket, with a matchbox, with color pants and shorts, almost like a gunda. But the way I saw the students conducting themselves here, I was ashamed. I was really ashamed. And as I was going on listening to Bhagavan Baba's discourses through 1979, whenever he was saying, what kind of education you should go through, I said, Swami, I went through wrong kind of education probably. I started correcting myself. I think from the first week of my stay in Prashanthilayam, I started wearing my white pant and shirt. And I immediately felt that I should remove my mush. I thought that I should immediately transform myself and stop smoking, which I could not do for a very long time. But Bhagavan Baba blessed me and put me out of that. And Bhagavan Baba, in his own discourses, he used to say, if you are smoking and you are a teacher, how can you ask your students not to smoke? If you are drinking, how can you ask your children not to drink? Don't you feel guilty about it? The guilt consciousness is very, very, very important. I'll give you a wonderful example. You'll be surprised. One day, Bhagavan Baba gave an interview to all the professors from the university. We were all in his interview room. He was talking. There was a visiting professor. He was about 60 years or so from Mysore University, a Sanskrit professor, who was into the habit of taking snuff. He used to pump snuff into his nostrils quite often. He was sitting in one corner of the interview room. He took out his tin, snuff tin, and he was going on taking snuff, even in the presence of Bhagavan. He's from outside Mysore. He came here to teach some courses, that's all. Swami was watching. The interview came to an end, and Swami looked at this professor and said, Krishnamurti, this snuff, you know, it's not a good habit for various reasons. It causes ill health to you. On the other hand, your pant and shirt are very dirty right now. There is snuff all over. And when I look at your kerchief, I get frightened, Krishnamurti, he said. It was so dirty, stinking, and it's all full of snuff. He sneezed out everything into that kerchief and he was carrying it in his pocket. So he said, but Krishnamurti was not to relent. He said, Swami, I'm already 60, 65 years. By stopping this, what's it I'm going to gain? Let me go ahead with this. He said, do what you like, but as a professor, you are not supposed to do it because your students, a lot of them, they watch. If you do it, they also think that there's nothing wrong in doing it. You have a moral responsibility. Better you be careful. The interview got over. Next day morning, we were sitting in the veranda. Swami sometimes finished interviews in the morning within half an hour. So on that day, and we used to gather about 10, 15 of us teachers used to wait for second darshan, additional darshan, one more darshan, before going to college. We were sitting there, Swami came out, and he used to talk every day to us. On various things he used to talk, excellent things. It's Brahmajnana. Whenever he spoke, it's Brahmajnana. Swami declared, I don't waste my words on people who don't care. Na matalu ratanala mootalu. All my words are like packs of diamonds, he said. Every word is like a diamond. This I give you to be utilized in your lives and correct yourselves and lead a very good life. So he was in front of us, talking to us, and in those days he used to take pan regularly. And he was having a kerchief. He was wiping his lips in between. He was talking and talking. Suddenly, he looked at his kerchief. He looked at his kerchief, looked at us. Looked at the kerchief, looked at us. And suddenly he said, yesterday in the interview, didn't I ask Krishnamurti to stop taking snuff and criticized on his kerchief? Yes, Swami. Oh, look at my kerchief today. This is also, there are stains on this. It looks very ugly. I think, yeah, it's a bad habit to take pawn. So I should stop it, he said. He was holding the kerchief like this. He dropped it and said, from now onwards, I will not take pawn. Dropped. Which he was taking for decades and decades and decades. Right education is not simply acquiring knowledge. What is the use of filling your minds with all kinds of knowledge from various books which you don't practice in your life? Swami always said, whatever I teach, I always practice in my life. I'll give you another startling example. There was our former president, APJ Abdul Kalam. He came to our university as the chief guest for our convocation. Our convocation is a very, very, very grand celebration which was attended to by lakhs and lakhs of people from all continents all over the globe. So busy. Kalam Saab came and he was standing close to the interview room. There is a pillar. He was kneeling to the pillar. He was standing there. Swami completed his round of darshan on the lady's side, went to the gent's side, finished and came back. I was given some duty in those days, so I was sitting very close to the interview room. I was watching what was happening, and Swami came, looked at Kalam Saab and said, hey Kalam, you are standing here. I'll get a chair for you. Why don't you be seated? And Kalam Saab immediately folded his hands to Bhagavan and said, Swami, how dare I sit on a chair in your presence? You know what kind of person Kalam was. What kind of a scientist, what kind of knowledge. Knowledge which does not get translated into wisdom is a burden to you. Believe me or not. You may have hundreds of degrees. When you are not humble, when you don't cultivate the quality of humility, as long as you are not down to earth, that education is a burden to you. It destroys your life. You become arrogant. You become egoistic. That, according to spirituality, who is your enemy, you know? In Adhyatmic wisdom, Adi Shankaracharya, Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Swami Vivekananda, Shirdi Swami, Parthi Swami, all of them said always one thing. The worst enemy to every person is himself. You are an enemy to yourself because you don't have control over you. Once you have good control over you, you are your best friend. Once you cultivate humility, you are humble, you are good. You discriminate between good and bad, what is right, what is wrong, then you become a fine human being. And spirituality, according to Bhagavan Baba, is nothing but a person to be comfortable with himself all the time is spirituality. You are comfortable with yourself all the time. Somebody scolded you, I'm comfortable, no problem. Somebody chides you, you can do what you want. I'm steady. It doesn't disturb me. It will have no impact on me. I don't do any of those things. Why? My education got translated into wisdom. William Cooper, a very great English writer, made a fantastic statement. Knowledge is proud that it knows so much. Knowledge is proud that it knows so much. Wisdom is humble that it knows no more. When you give to somebody dana, when you donate something to dana, according to Indian tradition, with a sense of shame, you donate it, it says. Dharmashastra says it. I am not saying it. In Dharmashastra it is said, with a sense of shame, give something to him. Why? You go to him, do namaskar to him and tell him, I feel so sad. I am able to give only this much. I am not able to give you more. Please pardon me. But what do? When you give something, it is advertised in 150 newspapers. Bhagavan Baba was always giving, giving and giving and giving. He declared actually, this hand of mine knows only giving. It doesn't take anything from anybody. And when he said that my life is my message, probably Swami wanted us to get educated on the right lines that we too stop taking. We don't want to take. We also want to give. Right education should give you the sense to give and give and give. Why? Bhagavan Baba declared it, explained it. He said, you don't know in your previous janmas, how many janmas, how much you gave. Today you have so much. As human beings, we get a doubt and we ask a question. How do you prove this point that you gave so much in your previous births and in this birth you have so much? Where is the proof? And Bhagavan Baba said, I don't have to prove it. You just go onto the road, take a walk, and you will know lot of beggars on the pavements, lot of people who are blind, lot of people who are lame, who are dragging themselves on the road. They don't have clothes to wear. They don't have a house. They stay probably in the bus tent. And they don't have chappals to wear. Nothing, absolutely. Why they are like that? Why I am like this? Ask yourself a question. Don't ask questions and say that there is no God, why spirituality and all that. No. Ask yourself all questions. Keep on asking questions yourself all the time. Look for answers from within. Why am I a postgraduate? Why these are my parents? Why not somebody else? Why this is my brother? Why this is my sister? Why not somebody else? Why this is my wife? Why this is my husband? Why these are my children? Explain. You will never get perfect answers to these questions. It is predetermined. You are going to be here. And the greatest sutra of life, spiritual education, very, very, very important. Swami said one fundamental sutra every time in his discourse. Jatasya hi maranam dhruvam. Jatasya hi maranam. Once you are born, you are sure to die. The translator one day said in one discourse, once you are born, you are sure to die. And Swami said wrong translation. Swami, Jatasya hi maranam dhruvam means once born you are, one day or other you will die. Swami said, no, it's not the right translation. Right translation is, you are born means you are dead. How come Swami, then Swami jocularly told one time to us, birth and death come as a package. It doesn't get separated actually. Once you are born means you are moving towards death every day, every day, every day. You are inching towards death. How come, Swami? I declared this to the world through Bhagavad Gita when I said, I am Kala Swarupa. It is Kala. Kala. We know it. Just now I mentioned, knowledge is no use unless it is translated into wisdom. You know it. You don't understand it. You understand it, you don't realize it. Every minute is passing by, you are going through what, it's going on and on. This was morning, sun rose. It is already 11 o'clock. It's gone. So much time passed away now. And it's going to go like this. And the most uncertain thing, which Vidya, the right education tells you is, you are not sure of your life here. How long you are going to live, you are not sure. Don't tell me that I am going to be here for another 5 years, 6 years. No one knows, because every day we find people dying on the spot for no reason. Bhagavan Baba said, how about expanding your mind? Education is to expand your mind. Expand. Your mind is expanding or not? No. My thinking stops with me. That's all. It doesn't go to my wife, to my children also. Whereas you have to expand and see the entire universe in your mind. That is right education. As I'm speaking to you now, you are all highly educated. You are all highly knowledgeable persons. Just think in your mind, as I am speaking to you this second right now, millions of souls are being born on the planet. Millions of souls are being born on this planet. In India, in America, in Canada, in South Africa, in Australia, so many beings are coming onto this planet. I don't talk about only individuals, so many animals, so many birds, so many insects. Millions and millions and millions are making appearance on this planet. Just see it in your mind. It's happening. At the same time, millions and millions are departing as well. They are also departing. If you expand your mind, you will see millions of people carrying the bodies to the burial grounds. Many of them are celebrating births of children at homes. Simultaneously, everything will be happening in this universe. But we don't see it in our mind because we don't expand our thoughts. When you don't expand your mind, you will not realize that every human being is nothing but a speck of divinity being brought into this world by God Himself. Swami clearly said, I am God, you are also God. I know it, you don't know it. Wrong education. You may have any number of degrees, but the biggest problem is your ego. The biggest problem is your probably ignorance. Your ignorance is so much. Shankaracharya said, your mind, which is full of jnana, is covered by ajnana. Unless that ajnana is removed, that jnana does not appear resplendent in its original form. When you look at everybody, everybody is great. Respect everybody. Love all and serve all. Bhagavan Baba did it. When Kalam Sahib was standing and Swami came and said, no, you should sit on a chair. And he said, no, Swami, in your presence, I don't sit on a chair. Swami said, anyway, it is my job to respect you since you came here. So he called a boy and said, hey boy, go and get a chair. The boy rushed. Even before the boy got the chair, Kalam sat on the ground. He dragged down himself onto the floor and sat down. Swami smiled. What wisdom. My God, what kind of humility. How humble he was. And then Swami went into the interview room, kept all his letters, came back, looked at Kalam and whispered into his ear. I was close by so I could hear what was happening, and he said, Hum prasadam denge to aap lenge kya? If I give you vibhuti prasadam, would you mind accepting it? What a culture it is. God himself goes to a devotee and says, would you mind accepting if I give you prasadam, please? Can we do that? Can we go to somebody and say, would you mind please? No. Ego. Ego is your enemy. Unfortunate it is, you are not able to keep it aside. Spiritual education is to keep that. In fact, to kill it. They did it. Namadeva did it. Jnanadeva did it. Tukaram did it. Meera did it. And then Ramakrishna Paramahamsa did it, Vivekananda did it, millions and millions of masters did it. Where are we? Where are they? My God, what heights they reached, and how lowly we are placed with our fantastic degrees of education in the world and crores of rupees in our pockets. Vivekananda did not touch even a single rupee in his life. He is worshipped everywhere. With your millions and millions, you will never be remembered also.
What a kind of spiritual education and what value spiritual education has got. Bhagavan came down to give us this right education. And Kalam Sahib said immediately, Swami, I must be really fortunate to receive prasadam from your hands. And Swami materialized Vibhuti, gave him. Kalam Sir put it in his mouth, smeared it on his forehead. Then Swami said, let us get into the interview. I would like to grant you interview. I would like to bless you with interview. Kalam Sahib got up. Swami also was ready to enter the interview room. Suddenly, the security guys of the President of India came in between Swami and President. And they said, Swami, 1 minute. Swami said, kya baat hai? What's it? Swami said, Swami, until and unless we check your room, as a matter of protocol, you cannot take President into that room. Swami said, please, come on, please go. Check my room. And there is an ante room. One more room is also there. Check both rooms. Come down. And when you clear it, then I will take the President of India inside. And came to us and said, it is important that follow the rules and regulations perfectly. Don't question. We grumble a lot about rules and regulations. We don't love to follow rules and regulations at all. How society would really be much, much, much better if we respect rules and regulations and follow. We have no respect for rules and regulations because our education is all totally wrong. We are wrongly educated. In fact, sometimes I wonder we are not educated at all. That education which has not transformed us into wonderful individuals is a big waste of time and a burden to all of us. Let us not have that.
Sir, kindly tell me when I need to stop.
Please. Okay. So, Swami said, follow rules and regulations, do this. We need to follow all the rules and regulations. Bhagavan himself was respecting rules and regulations all through. One day Swami was in the interview room. We were all sitting there outside, very close to the interview room. And bhajan was about to start. Swami came out of the interview room. And he picked up one VIP in the veranda. He said, yeah, get up. 1 minute, I need to talk to you. We were able to hear the conversation. Swami said, what were you doing near that security gate? You have to go through that that gate is put there now. You have to go through that security gate where so some sevadal was there, and sevadal stopped him and said, sir, you need to go through this, sir. And that VIP said, do you know who I am? Sevadal, after all, they come every 15 days, they keep changing. And some Sevadals are farmers, actually. They are all farmers. They are businessmen. Sometimes they earn their daily livelihood by working as a labor. We don't know what they are all. But they come here to serve Swami with a scarf. So, do you know who I am? He said. I said, sir, I don't know. Better you be careful. You can't ask me to go through this security gate and all that. I am VIP. So I am going by this side. Do your job carefully, okay? Next time, don't touch me, he said, and he came away. And Swami, after that man came and seated in the veranda, Swami came out and said, Ekbar, please get up, he said. What were you doing near that security gate, he asked. This man said, Maine kya kiya, Swami? What did I do? He said, you shouted at that sevadal, is it not? Swami, he got aghast, he was shocked. You really shouted at him, is it not? He said, I'm a VIP. Why should I go through the security check? All that you said, and you insulted that sevadal, is it not? Everybody was shocked in the veranda and waiting. What would happen next? Swami said, right now, go to the sevadal, apologize for your misbehavior to that sevadal and come back and sit here. If you don't do that, you can vacate the veranda and go away once for all. That man went, apologized, and came back. And then Swami said, that's right. You know why you need to apologize? He asked. Swami, remember they come here to serve me, not you. They come here to serve me. Do you think they are your servants? And you know how those people who are wearing scarves and serving highly placed government officials, university professors, accomplished lawyers, big businessmen, all of them come there, they wear their scarves, stand there and serve me. Know how to respect. You know why? That scarf, it's given by me. It's an extraordinarily valuable scarf. When you are wearing that, you must be very, very, very careful. Education, right education. You go through it. Come on, what is your problem? Ego is your problem. Kill that. Go through that security check. Sevadal stops you, stop. Remember, they are all here to serve Bhagavan Baba. Not only that, when we realize that, we know how to behave. Another fantastic example of Swami how taught us, how he got us educated was after completing the water project, which was itself a sensation in the world. I don't know how many of you know the details relating to Sri Satya Sai water project, which gives water to hundreds and hundreds of villages and big, big towns in Anantapur district. It was undertaken by Bhagavan Baba himself personally by spending crores and crores of rupees. And then the project is completed. Today, lakhs and lakhs of people receive water at their doorstep because of Bhagavan Baba. When that project was inaugurated, all of them came to Puttaparthi to express their gratitude. All the village panchayat presidents, panchayat samiti members, all of them, about more than 500, 600 people came. I was sitting on the gents' side for darshan. There was a place where I was regularly sitting for darshan. So all of them were sitting to my right. Swami completed darshan on the ladies' side, came to the gents' side, stood there and asked a question. He used to stand like this. He stood like this and said, why are you all here? Bangaru, why are you all here today? Suddenly he said. Then they said, Swami, we are here to express our gratitude to you for giving us water, which is not given to us for more than 500 years by no one. For 500 years, no one bothered about giving water to Rayalaseema. And Swami gave that. They said, today at doorstep, we get water, Swami. On that water project, actually, there is a professor in the university who was teaching here for the MBA students by name Professor Anantaraman. He made a project, he and his students. A project report is available on that water project, actually. You will be surprised to know how the social setup, the economic setup, every other aspect of lives of people in all these villages went through a tremendous change because of this water project. Everything is changed. It made such a wonderful impact. And Swami looked at all of them and said, what a mistake it is on your part to come and express gratitude to me, Bangaru, he said. I was there listening to him. Yanta tappu, Bangaru. Yanta tappu. Meeru naaku krutajnata cheptara. Why do you express gratitude to me? What a mistake it is. Immediately they said, how is it a mistake to express gratitude to you, Swami? Then Swami said, that sentence still I remember in Telugu. Naaku daham vesindi. Nenu oka project nadipanu. Nenu manchinillu techukunnanu. Nenu taagutunnanu. Naa daham nenu teerchukuntunnanu. Do I thank myself? He said, which means, I am thirsty, I ran a project, I am getting water, I am drinking water to quench my own thirst. Do I thank myself, Bangaru? He said. They were not able to understand. Then Swami said, Bangaru, all of you are nothing but my own reflections. When you drink water, when your thirst is quenched, my thirst is quenched. Not only that, second step he said was, Bangaru, not only that you gave me an opportunity that you need not express gratitude, on the other hand, I need to express gratitude to you for having blessed me with this wonderful opportunity to give you water. In India, we know there were times Maybe today also it's happening somewhere, I don't know. Family members in remote villages, after finishing cooking food at home, they eat only once a day. They don't eat four times a day. Afternoon lunch is cooked, they come onto the road and they wait on the road for a guest to come. Both of them will be standing, even if it is scorching sun. They wait till the guest arrives. When the guest comes, they take him inside. They give him a tumbler of water to wash his feet, or they wash his feet. They clean his feet, they take him, arrange a place for him, make him sit, serve food. They'll be fanning all the time he is eating food. After completing, they make a bed for him. You please relax for some time. Then they take food. This is the tradition of India for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Without giving something to somebody, they don't eat. Right education. Right education. Even today, there are a lot of functions celebrated at homes in villages when they distribute fruits, they distribute clothes, lots of things. Whenever they give fruits, they make it a point that they give best fruits to others. They keep the rotten ones, if they are there, keep it for ourselves. Give the best ones to others. All education is nothing but, I tell you, to see yourself in others. Is it possible? How can we do that? And then Swami, after saying this, I see yourselves, he said, Bangaru, it doesn't stop here. That you gave me an opportunity to serve you, I express gratitude to you. He said, I pray to all of you to give me many, many more opportunities like this to serve you. Bhagavan Baba saying, give me opportunity to serve. What do you think he was doing actually? Think for a minute. For all the time he was on this planet, what was he doing? Give a serious thought to that. He was serving us. He was serving us without rest. Even a single day, Swami did not rest. And one day in the veranda, he was talking to us and said, Bangaro, you are very fortunate, he said to us. You are all very lucky. Kyon Swami, why we are all very fortunate? Bangaro, see, there is a Saturday, there is a Sunday, there is Dasara, there is Christmas, there are summer holidays, so many excellent holidays to you. Where do Swami has got a holiday? Poor Swami, I don't have a holiday even a single day. He worked and worked and worked relentlessly without taking rest even for a single day. I'll quote an incident to you. One day, I believe long ago, when Swami was inside his chamber, people were all sitting on the sands there. It was very hot summer. Swami was running 104 temperature. Somebody went inside and said, Swami, do you think it is necessary to give darshan? You are already running 104 temperature and it is extremely hot outside. Why should you go? If you don't give darshan, is there anybody to question you? Nobody is going to say, why Baba, why don't you give darshan? No, you are not answerable to anybody. You can skip. Swami gave a smile and kept quiet. After half an hour, somebody went and said again. After 10 minutes again, somebody went and said the same thing. Swami looked at all of them. They were all waiting. After some time, when the fourth person went and repeated the same thing, Swami looked at him and said, who said I am going to give darshan? They were all very happy, jubilant, very good, Swami. So you are not going to give darshan? And Swami said, Bangaru, I am not going to give darshan. I am going to have darshan of my devotees. I want to go and have darshan of my devotees. They are all waiting there, getting scorched under the sun, sitting on the hot sand for such a long time. Do you think I am going to miss having their darshan? It is said, it is always like that. If you remember, I don't know how many of you know Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the best spiritual scripture which you must read without fail. Bhagavatam, you must. There's no choice. You read Bhagavatam every day, you will realize what it is. In Bhagavatam, there is a story of Gajendra. It's called Gajendra Moksha. In Gajendra Moksha, he tells you actually how ego takes over you and you feel like keeping a fight and all that. But ultimately, what happens, you know? When Gajendra says, Anyadha Sharanam Nasti Twameva Sharanam Mama, accept you, I don't have anybody else, please come and save. Lord ran like anything, I tell you. He went on a big run. When Lakshmi was there, when so many people were chasing him, asking him questions, Swami, where are you going? He said, no time to answer your questions. There is somebody I have to rush and save him. He takes a run. He ran and ran and ran and ran and saved Gajendra. When he said, Anyadha sharanam nastitvameva sharanam mama. I'll bring this to a close with one example. When I read that Gajendra Moksha, I was reminded of one thing. One day, Swami rushed out of his interview room. Suddenly, at 11 o'clock in the morning, we were sitting there. Bhajans got over, everything got over. Swami came out, rushed and said, I need car right now. Oh my God. We ran for the driver. We said, Swami wants car. Come on, bring it. So he went, he got a car. Swami got into the car and he went out. We thought Swami was going for a ride. Sometimes he used to go for a ride up to Yenamalapalli or something and comes back. So we were waiting and waiting, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, he doesn't return. Said, where did he go? So what happened, you know, after 2 hours or so, we got a call. Somebody saw him on the way heading towards Bangalore. Said, what's happening? So he went away. We went back to our houses and afternoon we came, we were sitting for darshan. And he came back from Bangalore. He got down from his car. We were sitting in the veranda. He looked at all of us and said, he always took great pride in behaving like a kid. So he was a kid actually. With pure, everything purity, purity and purity. So he looked at all of us and said, do you know where I went? We said, Swami, we don't know. I went to Bangalore, he said. He said, yes, Swami, we came to know that you went to Bangalore. You know why I went? Swami, we don't know. He said, one Central Trust member who was serving me for the past many, many, many decades, he got a heart attack and he was admitted to hospital. So I rushed there immediately to express my gratitude to him. I went there to express my gratitude to that candidate who was serving me as Central Trust member. I went to hospital, got him admitted, gave him prasadam and blessed him so that he would have a nice health back. So I rushed and came back. He was having a habit. The same thing he did when Indulal Shasar's wife was sick in Bombay. She was in hospital. He called a student and said, rush to Bombay immediately. Swami, rush. Your ticket is already booked. Prasadam is here. Take this. Straight go to hospital. Give this prasadam to her and come back. Tell her, I am with her. Convey the message and come back. In Shirdi avatar, he did the same thing. In Parthi avatar, he did. In Krishna avatar, he did. In Rama avatar, he did. He was teaching us again and again and again and again. Trying his best to give us right education, perfect education. Something is blocking it, I think. We are not getting the right education. But we are very fortunate that we know him. We are all put on the right track by him. We are trying our best to be on the right track, trying ourselves to correct on and off whenever our mind goes off the way. But this is the kind of right education which I thought I should share some of these thoughts with all of you on how Bhagavan Baba educated us and made us real good humans. And he said, serve my students all the time in the university. Don't expect anything in return. Why? Swami said, serving me is a great return in itself. Service is a great return in itself. And it will never be service if you expect something. Don't expect anything in return. The minute you expect something in return, the work is wasted away. No, let me do it. Why? For the pleasure of it. When you serve somebody, you feel so happy. I'll give an example. Somebody comes to you with a dried up throat. His throat is drying. It's hot summer, walking on the road. He ran. He knocked on your door and he says, you open the, what? Can you give me one glass of water, please? You give him one glass of water, he drinks. That in itself is a great return to you. Then he says, thank you. That is right education. Be ready. Go on serving and serving and serving. try to learn only two qualities all the time. Be humble, and humility be with you wherever you go. Humility. Kalam was humble. Mother Teresa was humble. So many other people in the world who served the society, they were all humble. President Rajendra Prasad was humble. The president of India, he was humble. He took 1 rupee salary all his life and served the society. They were all down to earth. We are not getting satisfied with what we are, what we have. This is the misfortune of our lives. Wants, your desires are your enemy. Put an end to it somewhere in this ashram. If you go and watch, multi-millionaires live in this ashram. Multi-millionaires, they can do what they want actually. Such people living here for the past 5 decades, 6 decades, they are living here in a single room with no bed, single kitchen, no comforts, nothing. They sleep on the floor. They take 2 times food. They go there, have darshan. What are you priding for? Millions of people are there whom Swami chose. Swami said, you be here. You know our former Vice Chancellor S.V. Giri? He's here. He's in that room. You know what he was? Chief Vigilance Commissioner of India. Cabinet rank minister, Government of India, Delhi. When he was in service, Swami sent a call. He was a devotee of Swami. Giri, I want you as the Vice Chancellor of my university at Puttaparthi. He said, Swami, I cannot leave the job just like that without the permission from the Prime Minister of this country. Prime Minister of the country was Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who was a very great devotee. Tell the Prime Minister. Vajpayee said, I am fortunate, Swami, in relieving this great man to offer service to you. He relieved him. He came away from Delhi. He served as our Vice Chancellor, still continues to live here. Let me mention the name of our Chakravarti Garu also, who came as the registrar of our university first in 81 when Swami started. He was a top class IAS officer who was about to be the Chief Secretary of Andhra Pradesh. Swami said, I want you as registrar, resign for your job. Resigned. Came away, continues to live here. What is it there in this world for us to be proud of? The problem is not right education, I think. If you are right with your good education, if it is right education, it will make you so humble. 24 hours you will focus on only one thing. How more to offer service, how to offer more and more and more service to the society. So you need to do 3 things according to Bhagavan Baba. The one thing is satsang. You must keep yourself always in satsang. Second, bhaja sadhu samagamam. Keep in the company of good people. Tyaja durjana sangatyam. Leave the company of bad people who talk to you about wealth 24 hours. There is no other job except talking about wealth only. 24 hours, I have so many millions, so many, so what? Tyaja durjana sangatyam. When tyaja durjana sangatyam, translator said, leave the company of bad people. Swami said, hey, wait. It's wrong. Run away from bad company, is it? Never talk to them again. And the last thing is, kuru punyam ahoratram. Kuru punyam ahoratram. Don't sleep, he said. Don't sleep. Your life is very short. 24 hours a search for people who want help. Go on helping. Last breath you take, helping others. Life is sanctified. Otherwise, you don't know how you will have to come back again into this world, whether a vertical vertebrae or a horizontal vertebrae. Are you going to be a human being or an animal? You don't know. If you want a bright future, one with the divinity, right education, right understanding, right conduct, right service, humility, be humble, be good, love all, serve all. Thank you very, very much. Excellent opportunity. I thank Swami for this. Jai Sai.
I went through the thick forests of perpetual desire. I crossed the running rivers of longing. I passed through the descent of silent suffering. I climbed the steep hills of continual strife. And feeling ever some presence in the air, I asked, "Are you there, my love?" But a voice came to my ears saying, "No, still further am I." So as soon as I attained to oneness, I became a bird with a body of unity and wings of everlastingness. And I continued flying in the air of quality. And I thought that I had arrived at the very throne of God. And I said to it, "O throne, they tell us that God rests upon you." But the throne replied, "We are told that he rests in a humble heart." Bitter things become sweet. Through love, copper becomes golden. Through love, muddy water becomes clear. Through love, all pains are healed. Through love, the dead become alive. Through love, kings are made slaves. Through love.
Peace can reign on earth when love is here to stay. Sun, let me stand beneath and now have no shadows with you. And if you are the world and all that's in it, let me live my life for you. Never set me free. I'm a prisoner of love in all that I do. And if you are the ocean, let me be a stream and come flowing back to you. And if you are a tree, let me be a creeper and wind myself around you. And if you are the sky, let me be a bright star in you. And if you are a flower, let me fly as a bee and come buzzing round you. And if you are the mountain, let me be the valley so I can look up at you. Stealer of hearts, stealer.